Lord Jesus, thank you for your life here on earth. Thank you that you cared for people. Thank you that you gave generously, sharing your Father's gifts as a portent and a sign of wondrous things to come. Amen. For some time, I used to holiday in the south of France with an elderly Catholic priest. And this Catholic priest lived on a hill in a beautiful house and had a very well-stocked wine cellar in the form of a cave under this house. But this rural French priest, quite a few churches under his care, was never really paid wages, but he was given in kind, which meant the sort of local French farmers and vineyard owners and other people, families, would provide for him as prompted. Now, I remember one time driving into a village in his old Citroen Visa car held together with bits of string and sellotape and so on. We drove into this village and he parked in the local petrol station. He got out, we went to the church where he took the morning mass. When we returned, the car was cleaned, had a tank full of fuel, the tyres were checked, and on the back seat was these couple of bottles of unlabeled table wine, a cheese, some bread, and a couple of skinned rabbits. And off we went for our day. This wise and delightful priest always shared the fruits of his labour. I don't think I ever remembered a time when he counted the cost. He was generous to people in a similar way that our epistle described. And he had great insight and worship. And his simple view was all things come from you, O Lord, and of your own do you give them. And he worked tirelessly as a priest. I mean, he's passed away now, but he worked tirelessly as a priest in his parish. He's very committed to them, as often Catholic priests are. And a Catholic priest works till they die. They don't retire. And you could see clearly that people appreciated him. Even if they didn't go to church, they appreciated his presence in the community. But over a meal, you say, the problem with you English, Ben, is you do not know how to drink. He said, you drink rubbish. he would say, you drink this gaseous beer in pubs. Always quantity, he said, rather than quality. Now, our passage today is not just about quality. It's also about quantity, which would suit, therefore, the English style of drinking, perhaps, and a more European one. But at the wedding of Cana, Jesus transformed water into wine. And not just quality, saving the best till last, but also quantity, enough for all the guests to have what they needed. Now, some scholars say, and there's all manner of things said about this miracle, and there's much to read in the commentaries and published sermons and so on. But the truth of this first miracle, this wondrous miracle, is typical of Jesus Christ, not only meeting the needs and the practical aspects or fixing broken situations, but the real reason for all his miracles is to reveal forevermore the truth of God's kingdom to come, which it says in the last verse. It was to manifest forth his and God's glory. So the wedding of Cana celebrates God's union with us as human beings through his Son given, Christ, to this world to save us from our sins. It's not just about the celebration of the marriage feast of this unknown couple who were fortunate to have Jesus as his wedding guest, but it's also about celebrating the beginning of his ministry and his commitment and covenant to us as people. Now, there are explanations, you know, you can redact miracles down, can't you? That there was, I mean, the famous one is the grape residue at the bottom of wineskins. I've heard that before, you know, they poured the water in and it was like Ribena and it became kind of wine. If you must or you need to do that or have an explanation like that, go ahead, that's fine. But the truth of any miracle is that the more you believe, the more it gives back to you. It's a bit like a painting or a piece of art. The more you give it, the more you receive from it. God's grace and love is expressed through the miracles of Christ. Jesus' mother, Mary, we've heard about her over Christmas. She says very simply, do as he says. Do as he says. And that's, again, how we accept the gifts or the teaching, the learning of Christ. We lift it unto his very own mother. Do as he says to the servants. So the miracle teaches us of the grace and love poured out to us abundantly in quality and quantity, as done so on the cross. So whether your tipple or your drink is 6 pints of gaseous lager or a sip glass of barrel-cured wine, and I'm not encouraging you to drink in any way, shape or form. That's not the point of this miracle. But what I'm suggesting this morning to take away for the week is that God, through his Son Jesus Christ, wants to pour out into your life his grace through love and the symbolic symbols of love expressed in all of his miracles, but particularly this morning in the symbol of wine and water mixed that becomes symbolic of his body sacrificed on the cross. So quality or quantity, whatever you prefer, be expectant. Be joyful, as the epistle says. Trust in faith, because God wants to give to you. He wants to pour out. He wants to pour out in abundance, filling over, overflowing. And not just this morning, forevermore. And there is an eschatological wedding, if you excuse the word. But there is a wedding, a communion feast, between the bridegroom, our Lord, and his ever faithful people, the bride, me and you, our church. Not just in this age, but the age to come. Amen.